I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, man.
God bless. Bye.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
Hey.
Hey.
She suffered a very severe beating.
I'm good. We just spent the last half hour really delving into the Trump indictment and then whether or not... whether or not, you know, Biden should be... And there should be an impeachment against Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, there's so many things. I mean, whether it's the corruption, whether it's the use of government institutions to pursue political opponents, whether, you know, there's just so many levels which he crosses so many red lines. I mean, you know, you don't have to go to the Espionage Act and prosecute him for this, for what you're prosecuting Trump for. You can go through, you got a dozen thousand things. Yep. And if you're going to prosecute him, you're going to have to get every president before, you know, if you're going to prosecute Trump like this, you're going to have to go for every president.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Every one of them that's alive. You could go after Carter. You can go after Clinton. You can go after Obama. You can go after George W.
Yeah, I know. It's... And you're talking a limited amount as opposed to Biden, where it's in an open garage. He's taking, the bottom line is that this Espionage Act was never intended to be applied to presidents. There has been a way that this has been dealt with in the past, that Trump was operating relatively within the framework of it. I'm not happy. I mean, I actually think all presidents should follow very strict procedures with classified material. But as usual, you know, you have no law, and then suddenly you have a selective use of a law.
It's
political.
Yep, absolutely.
You know.
Yep, there's no question. This is absolutely it's all political. But I find Victor's article that you sent me very interesting regarding the French Revolution aspect of this. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about that. I'm sure that you would love to dig your teeth into that a little bit. I've tabled us that, you know, that we will have some conversation about that. And then, you know, obviously we can talk a little bit about Israel, but I think the Israel generation then I put Islam is
but
not
you are
peaceful.
A chosen generation.
And I think
royal
we should
priesthood,
hit on the jizya
nation,
piece for just a minute
people,
and talk about
what
that means.
You should chew forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people,
I'm very familiar with that. Jizya is their way of basically impoverishing their political enemy,
Pastor Gray,
and what they consider to be their religious enemy, but they use religion and politics in conjunction. It's sick stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, here we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I guess the majority of that was all on tape, but that's okay. We didn't say anything that we didn't say anything there that we wouldn't say publicly anyway. So there you go.
That's fine.
The facts are the facts, and that's the truth. I want to welcome my next guest to the program. It's always a joy and a pleasure to have him on the program. And you know, we get into these really heavy conversations. I'm trying to clean up my graphics here real quick and bring my current guest in and Oh, let me see. Oh, I know where it went. Went down here. There we go. Okay. And bring in. Okay, so now I got to do that one more time. There we go. And I want to welcome Dr. David Wormser to the program. Dr. Wormser, welcome. Good to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I realize that I am going to be, I have a doctor's appointment next week on Monday, which is when you would normally be here. So I'm just going to have to take the day off because it has to do with my, my left eye, the one that they're, that we've been trying to figure out if we're going to do reconstructive surgery or what exactly we're going to do. So I'm not going to be here next Monday, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to have a conversation with you. And obviously there's plenty for us to discuss. So I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to bring Dr. Wormser on today if he's available. And you were, and here we are. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, Aaron. And prayers with you for next week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. We got a lot to crunch in the next 24 minutes or so. Let's begin. You sent me an article regarding the 37 Nigerians that were slaughtered, and I am hopefully going to have Masara Kim, who will be reporting to us. He's a reporter on the ground over there in Abuja, and hopefully I will have Masara on the program later this week. That being said, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because this issue of Islam directly affects what's happening in Israel. I mean, that's what it's all about. That is the war. It is a conflict, right, between the Islamic worldview and Judaism.
Well, it's the Islamic worldview and anybody else.
Yeah.
And the Christians and Jews are in a specific category. You go to strict Islamic law, which is what we see being applied in many places. It's not a theoretical concept or the concept of the Greek golden mean that's something you strive for but never reach. It is an actual living, active law. Structure. And in that structure, Jews and Christians, well, non-Jews, non-Christians, non-Muslims, they basically are put to the sword, convert or die. That's it. There's really no intermediate ground. Jews and Christians have an option. They can convert, or they can become Islamic, or they can stay Jewish and Christian, but they have to accept a very diminished status, a very harassed, unfree status that is really designed to force them through pressure, ultimately, to convert anyway. In the end, everybody needs to convert to Islam. This is a religion with a global universalist aspiration in that way. But unlike the tools of persuasion, it still believes very much in the role of the sword. And through the way it behaves toward Christians and Jews, it believes very much in using very harsh measures to force conversion over time.
And one of those is this thing called jizya. And for those that are not familiar with that, jizya means that what they require of you is that you pay a tribute. This is what led to the battle in Tripoli. You know, in the 1800s, right? The Barbary pirates and the Barbary coast. That was all about the demand that had been put on John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, and they had agreed to a form of jizya in order to try to keep us out of war, coming out of the Revolutionary War, and in order to open up a trade passage, since the overland trade passage had been shut by the Islamists, by Muslims.
Right, exactly. And then overall, though, over the last 1,500 years, jizya is part of a larger cluster of laws that essentially strip rights of Christians and Jews. There was agricultural activity that made, you know, if you go back 1,500 years, the great cities of the world, if you would have had one of those suitcases with the stickers where I traveled, you know, nowadays you see, you know, Buenos Aires and London and Paris and Tokyo and blah, blah, blah. Back then, you would have had Tripoli, you would have had Palmyra, you would have had all these cities across North Africa and the Middle East were great cities. They were the heart of the Roman Empire and the heart of Christendom, with significant Jewish populations as well. And the bottom line was they were in what is now complete desert. They're uninhabitable. They're ruins. There's nobody there. I mean, zero population, literally. And so how do you take a city of 50,000, 100,000, and within two decades, you completely eliminate the entire population and turn it a shredded desert rather than a blooming city? And the reason for it is some of those laws, namely the laws of culture were subordinate to the laws of Muslim supremacy. So, and it was a nomadic culture. So they would come in and they insisted under the law that grazing of their flocks, their herds, the nomadic tribes, grazing rights were superseding the rights of Christians and Jews who held land and would conduct agriculture. Well, you can't have agriculture and nomadic grazing at the same time because it just basically completely destroyed the agricultural structure. And once the agricultural structure was destroyed, within a decade, the city's populations collapsed and they became abandoned. Mm-hmm. So you had these great cities completely destroyed. And again, it was the same cluster of laws. Jews and Arabs don't have the same right. I mean, Jews and Christians don't have the same right as Muslims did, as Arabs did, that were invading. And the tax that you're talking about is a good example that is ultimately meant to do the same. It's to destroy or force conversion. So, but by the way,
yes,
even though Jews and Christians had more rights than absolute, you know, polytheists or pagans, it was really never practiced cleanly in the sense that Jews and Christians were harassed and killed and robbed. And really, the life for a Jew or Christian in the Muslim world was miserable. And all this propaganda about the Golden Age of Spain, maybe relative to other places, but generally the Golden Age of Spain, you did not want to go from here and be a Christian in Spain or a Jew in Spain.
And really, you know, that was part of the reason, you know, not during that time, but when you talk about the Crusades, that was the reason. The reason for the Crusades had to do with a severe oppression and outright murder that the Muslims were committing against the Spanish population, and the concern that they were going to bring that sickness into the rest of Europe.
Yeah, the Crusades was a counterattack. It was a counteroffensive. It wasn't an offensive. It was a counteroffensive.
After 400 years, it should be mentioned as well. 400 years of severe oppression, the absolute we look at modern day Turkey, but what's forgotten about modern day Turkey is that they slaughtered 2.5 million Christians.
Oh, absolutely. When Istanbul fell, Constantinople fell. When Jerusalem fell, this was the whole sort of mythological tolerance of Islam that seems to be gripping our academic communities and our political community to some extent is a myth. I mean, it's simply a myth that this was a religion that expanded by the sword.
And that was, yeah. So, all right, I want to move away from that for a second because I want to get us transitioned into talking about the French Revolution and the coup. Victor Davis Hanson, who I've had on the program several times, has written a very powerful and I think profound article. It's published in the Independent Institute, The Impending Thermidor Reaction in Jacobin America. At peak, woke, our reign of terror is beginning to lose momentum because its continuation would destroy all the work of 247 years of American progress and sacrifice. And then it reflects back on the French Revolution and compares components and of what's happening now to individuals in that. And it's interesting. I find the comparison, for example, they specifically call out Colin Kaepernick and LeBron James, for who, by the way, the money they get is directly linked to communist China. Okay, they've sold out America, and you know, I think Kaepernick knows it. I would hope that LeBron James, in a way, I would hope that he knows it. In a way, I would hope that maybe he's naive, but I don't think that he is. I think that he knows exactly what's going on, and or he's a combination of the two, which is dangerous.
Well, the whole NBA, I mean, I know Kaepernick is not the NBA. He's football.
NFL. But, well, they are too, but they're all the sports leagues.
You know, the NBA knew it because they know how to censor themselves when they need to. So they know how brutal the regime is.
Yep.
They know what the rules are of the regime
yep.
of oppression, and they participate in it. So this is not naivete. This is collusion. But yeah, you mentioned the French Revolution. I think, you know, the context of it is that, you know, at the end of the day, there was that fundamental divide in human affairs in between 1776 and 1793. 1776 was our revolution. 1793 was the French Revolution. A real historian would put it back to the 1680s when there was the British had the Glorious Revolution. But nonetheless, the bottom line difference is our revolution was anchored to the fundamental belief that God gave humans inalienable rights. We were created by God. Even the deists, even those who were not, they believed in natural law, that humans inherently hold individual rights. And we constructed a system based on individual rights. The French Revolution emanated from the thought of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, which believed in this idea of a social contract, that there's some mystical will of a political community, except they're too primitive to know it, so they need a vanguard leader, a leader above it all, the despotic lawgiver, who manifests this communal will. And rights are derived around the values that that community holds. So they're not. So you don't have inherent rights. You have rights that are derived from being part of that community's values.
Okay.
And if you don't like those values, you have no rights. Well, from that fundamental divide, the French Revolution led ultimately to communism, fascism, Nazism, Baathism in the Middle East, etc. It's all these totalitarian ideologies. And it's an extremely dangerous structure. And what happens is that in the article that you're referring to, Pastor, the one by Victor Davis Hanson, he basically outlines the dynamics of this revolution, which are that it essentially starts consuming itself, namely the greed for power. The radical transformation of society ultimately requires the eradication of society, because you have to essentially destroy everything and leave it a complete chaotic mess before you can begin then to use it as clay.
Hi everybody, Dennis Prager with Mr. Tubbs.
Okay, let me get rid of that. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So it reduces the society to a piece of clay that this despotic lawgiver manifesting the community can reshape into the image of utopia that he seeks. And ultimately, that complete destruction of society breeds a counter-reaction.
All right. Let me this is I'm bringing this up, David, because I talked about this this past week. And I think that it's worthy of conversation relative to what you're talking about. Dennis Prager has been one of the thought leaders, PragerU, of the conservative movement. But he says something, and I called out Glenn Beck on this as well. One of Glenn Beck's prominent programs is the Rubin Report. But David Rubin is a practicing sodomite who also believes in killing babies. He's pro-choice. You cannot have conservatism based on those two principles. They're antithesis to the conservative principle, because conservatism's foundation is predicated on God and his laws and his rules. And if God says that something is wrong, if man steps in and says, well, we're going to adjust that, now the rights that we have no longer come from God. They come from man. And this is a comment that he makes, and let me see if I can find the specific thing.
The concentration camp. He was an Austrian Jewish psychoanalyst.
All right, here we go.
He wrote a book that is one of the 10 books that most, in fact, one of the 5 books. After the Bible, it's up there with the book that has most influenced me. It's a very short book. I read it in high school, Man's Search for Meaning. It's a very famous book. It's a classic. He, relatives of his, I think his wife, his beloved wife, was murdered by the Nazis. And he was asked after the war the following question. Do you hate the German race? That's the way they put it in those days. Today they would say the Germans or the German nation. Do you hate the German race? And his answer in his book was no. There are only 2 races, the decent and the indecent. If I had to give a motto of my life, that is my motto. That is how I divide the world. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're Christian.
Okay, and there's the problem. Because if you are a sodomite, you are a practicing sodomite. If you are practicing that sexual deviance, then God's word says you're not decent. And it's not, this isn't hate. This is a reality. This is a fact. And as a constitutional republic who gets its rights from God, if we discard God's opinion, we are now under man's opinion. And once we've made that transition, we're in trouble.
There's an intentionality. There's an intention behind this, which is you go to Mount Sinai and you go backwards. You go backwards into the desert. You begin to take apart the law. You take apart the Bible, the Deuteronomy and Numbers and so forth. You take it all apart and you go back to the golden calf. You go back to chaos. You go back to anarchy. You go back to pagan worship. And then ultimately, you go back to Pharaoh and enslavement. And that's the point. That's exactly what they're, you see, when you look at all the things they're pushing, it's not that they're even advocating allowing sodomy or so forth in the home. They're making it now a political religion. The LGBT, you know, we look at the White House today. There's the LGBTQ whatever.
Oh, we're a nation of pride. According to we're a nation of pride.
So this is no longer a private thing, which is, you know, again, we can go on about that, which is an issue in itself. But beyond that, now it's a political movement to try to make it a norm in society. And that is ultimately designed to unravel law. It's the chaos that we saw in Victor Davis Hanson's article. It's the attempt to rip apart every norm and law of society so that you have a completely chaotic prostrate community, and then you can build the golden calf, which is the great leader, whether it's Stalin or Hitler or whatever, and then he leads you back into slavery through the pharaoh. He becomes the pharaoh. So again, all this stuff, you know, we all have our desire to be tolerant and our desire to be open-minded, And we don't want to fight with people about things like this all the time and so forth. But we have to understand the good measure of this is meant to unravel our society. And that is part of the political agenda of the progressives, is to destroy society. These are real Robespierre-like revolutionaries. And their first mission number one for them is to create anarchy.
Well, and the other side to it is, and this is what I've argued for years and years and years, as soon as you made marriage, as soon as you, again, the foundation, and you and I have talked about this before, we only got just a couple of minutes left, but the foundation of our American culture, of any culture, is the family unit. Yes. Husband, wife, and children. That, period. That is the only way that you survive, is to defend and protect that traditional, quote unquote, now we've got to call it traditional, which again, I mean, that's how much they've stolen the definition, that we literally have to put an adjective in front of family in order to give people a perspective of what we're talking about.
Now, the war on family and war on having children and war on family and family structure has been one of the most, because that is the core of society. Mm-hmm. Once you destroy that, you've destroyed everything. And, you will see, you can talk about economics from here to eternity. Economics will suffer. You can talk about invention and innovation from here to eternity. There will be no innovation. Everything flows from the family structure. In societies where there are healthy families, you see innovation, economic growth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can't tell you why the exact mechanism from point A to point B on that, but
well, I would take
everything falls apart.
I would take a stab at it only from this perspective, and I'm not trying to pretend to be the smartest guy on the block, but I think it's the first covenant God made with man. It was the thing that the Creator said, this is the most important relationship that I am going to create for you. And Jesus Christ affirmed that in Matthew 18 when he said that God created male and female and joined them together, and he joined them in a marriage.
Well, exactly. And so, by the way, we have lots of historic evidence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every study, Family Research Council, by the way, did an intensive almost 20-year study. I interviewed the guy about 8 years ago, when they first brought that out. But I mean, the statistics and the statistical evidence, the data is unquestionable about the difference between an intact mom, dad, and kids versus any other scenario. All right, we're out of time. David, God bless. Thanks for being with me. I greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna take a break, short break, and then I'm gonna be bringing on Mr. Joseph Ochipente, who was framed, and we're gonna talk about how a DOJ and an FBI that are weaponized are so incredibly dangerous. We'll be back to talk about that coming up right after this break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and I'm really honored to have my next guest with me. He was framed by the federal government, and I can't think of a more appropriate, based on everything we're seeing with the J6 situation, friends of mine that have been prosecuted through that situation, what we just heard from Agent O'Boyle in front of the House Oversight Committee, and now I bring to you a gentleman who has experienced this kind of corrupt prosecution firsthand, and a new book that he has out called Framed. I want to welcome to the program Joe Acapinti. Joe, welcome. It's good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Pastor Greg, my pleasure.
Well, my goodness, Joe. Let's just begin with, as you sit and you listen or listened to, I assume you listened to the testimony of those agents?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Familiar with everything that is going on in Washington. My case was a unique case.
Okay.
And what happened during the early 90s is indicative of what we're seeing today. I was considered, and I am, I believe, one of the most decorated federal agents in the United States. I was credited with 78 commendations, including 3 Attorney General awards. I was the chief of the New York City Human Trafficking, which was at the time part of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, which is today now Homeland Security Investigations. And basically, I took on a drug cartel that have been implicated in the murder of a New York City police officer. During the course of the investigation, I identified that the cartel was buying up grocery stores in order to facilitate their drug trafficking and organized crime activities. During the course of the investigation, I also received from a credible informant that the drug cartel were holding sex and drug parties for federal prosecutors. At the first, I didn't believe it because after 20 years of law enforcement, the federal prosecutors are the elite of the elite. But in any case, my superiors wanted me to pursue the investigation, which we called Project Esquire. Little did I know, I was rubbing the elbows and creating problems, not only with the Southern District of New York, who didn't want to expose the corruption, but also to the drug cartel. Rather than deciding to kill me, they decided to frame me on federal civil rights. In essence, the bad guys claimed that they never gave me proper consent to search, which resulted in the seizure of numerous contraband. I had become the first law enforcement officer ever in American history to be prosecuted due to an allegation of an unlawful search and seizure, which, of course, never occurred because it was a government form in Spanish, and I speak Spanish fluently. In any case, I got railroaded into a conviction. The case, the prosecutor against me was, I won't even mention the name, who's a former Secretary of Homeland Security under the Obama administration. The one who authorized my prosecution was the same special prosecutor that went after President Trump. The judge in the case was the godmother to the prosecutor. So I never stood a chance.
Sure.
In any case, it wasn't until after I was convicted that the media, including New York Post Pulitzer Prize writer Mike McAlary, an Inside Edition, went undercover and actually exposed how I was framed.
Wow.
The government was at a dilemma because they wanted to do propaganda to prove to the American public we were winning on the war on drugs. How do they admit that a highly decorated federal agent was so easily set up by a drug cartel? So instead, fortunately, I got two American presidents, including President Trump, who granted me clemency and a full and unconditional presidential pardon. And that's why 27 years ago, I established the National Police Defense Foundation, which is a worldwide police foundation that helps law enforcement officers who may have been falsely accused of crimes.
So when you see the or read the statements of the agents that are coming forward now to blow the whistle on what they see happening within the FBI and the Department of Justice and basically what they believe to have been illegal orders that they were given regarding surveillance and activities against American citizens, what's your initial reaction to that?
Well, I'm not surprised because it happened in my case. You know, as a federal agent, you really believe that the government's going to support your efforts. And if it means exposing corruption, as I did on Project Esquire, and they came back. And what was more upsetting was my efforts through the Department of Justice. They have an Office of Professional Responsibility, which in essence is internal affairs that's supposed to expose and prosecute corruption. That basically rubber stamp whatever the Justice Department tells them, as they did in my case. And again, politics plays such an integral part of corruption. For example, for many years after I got the executive clemency, I pushed for congressional hearings. They don't want it. It's embarrassing. It's going to jeopardize the propaganda that they're saying that we're winning in the war on drugs. There is no such corruption. And basically, that's the situation. It happened now, back then with me, and it's happening today in the same fashion.
Now, I'm just going to say, you mentioned that your case happened 27 years ago.
Yeah, 1991, I was convicted. And just to let you know, as a career veteran law enforcement officer, when the judge learned that I went on a media campaign and I went on a national TV show, she ordered the U.S. Marshals to take me into immediate custody and put me in a maximum security prison. Shackles, leg irons, for an allegation of an unlawful search where there were no acts of police brutality, no acts of racial bias or corruption. In fact, the head of the FBI in New York, Jim Fox, realized I was being railroaded and publicly stated that there was evidence of the conspiracy and my innocence. And you know what they did after 30 years? They ended up suspending him a month before his retirement.
Wow. You know, I was thinking about, I interviewed a couple of times John O'Connor. He was the one who defended Mark Felt. And I think you may be familiar with the Mark Felt case. You know, this was the guy that was Deep Throat, but he was the guy that, that came forward and then ultimately was responsible for taking down Bill Ayers. And the Carter administration framed him and went after him for that prosecution. And then I think about my friend Phil Haney, who I am confident was murdered.
What happened to me is a landmark prosecution, as I explained,
yeah,
the first time. And as a result, every major law enforcement agency, including the Drug Enforcement, terminated drug interdiction. Today, we have no formal drug interdiction because the agents are afraid the same thing to happen to their agents acting in good faith and going after a politically powerful drug cartel.
Right.
So
right.
Who lost? The American public.
Well, okay, so let's run down that trail for just a minute. You know, there's a lot of conversation about the open borders, about the cartels, about the influence of the cartels in American politics. I know, being in Texas, I know how much of an influence they have on the political landscape at the border, which is one of the reasons why there's no will to get the border wall built and why Abbott won't do anything, because he's in some of these people's pockets. Yes, I said it. But the point of this, Joe, is the question I have for you is how deep is American politics intertwined with the drug cartel money?
Well, let me explain. The drug cartels, as well as the international crime syndicates, have learned the essence of American politics. They're able to, through making donations to political campaigns, they're able to convince elected officials, whether it's intentional or the elected official realizes they're being duped. Just like in my case, where the mayor of the city of New York held a press conference condemning my actions and calling for a federal prosecution. It had nothing to do. So what the drug cartels do, they establish political action groups. And through those political action groups, they basically could promise elected officials not only donations, political donations, but actually votes. And on the southern border, who is the only group making out money is the drug cartels.
Mm-hmm.
And the
human trafficking, which now, you know, I believe, according to some of the people that I visit with, are saying that, you know, human trafficking has surpassed the drugs with regards to, you know, dollars and cents and value, and what their focus becomes.
More importantly, in addition to what you just said, is if you catch someone smuggling in a kilo of cocaine, they're going to go to jail. You get someone human trafficking, smuggling a group, they're not going to see no jail time.
Yeah.
So it's advantageous to be involved in human trafficking. And I was the chief of the human trafficking in New York City. And I know firsthand, see, the American public is very sympathetic to the plight of an illegal alien. I mean, we all have landscapers. We all have hardworking people. But what's happening is I saw the other side. I saw in human trafficking how women are smuggled in for prostitution.
Yeah.
I see young children being smuggled in to be slaves for people. These are the adverse effects that I've seen in human trafficking. The best thing, the only advice I give is we have to concentrate on criminals, terrorists, and the mere fact that ICE has been terminating their increased enforcement activities is indicative of it's politically incorrect to do any form of immigration enforcement.
It's a really scary situation. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Joe Occupanti, and the website is NPDF1, NPDF1, and that is the National Police Defense Foundation. We'll talk some more about that, and we're going to talk about the book Framed, I Never Stood a Chance. We'll talk about all that coming up here on Children Generation Radio with my special guest right after this brief break. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial.
Pastor Greg.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have Clean Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And my very special guest is Joe Acapenti. And that website again, npdf1.org, npdf1.org. And for those of you watching, you can see it on the screen right below Joseph's name, npdf1.org, National Police Defense Foundation. Joe, we were talking in the green room there about, you know, the chilling effect that these kinds of prosecutions against police officers and really where criminals are given the day and the officer is put very quickly on the defensive and is literally on the defensive out in the field to the point that in a life and death situation, they could lose their life because of DAs that won't prosecute and because criminals are given, you know, excessive rights. And then there's the victim who has to wonder not whether or not the police officer is going to, you know, be bad, but more importantly, is the police officer who arrives on the scene going to be able to do their job and protect them against the person that's actually victimizing them?
You're absolutely right. I have to say that the American law enforcement officer is probably the best trained officer in the world. And they have experts that teach law enforcement officers in their training how to respond to life-threatening incidents. And, you know, and as a result, they follow the training, the split-second decisions. But then afterwards, if it's deemed to be politically incorrect, these officers are now looking potentially not only for bankruptcy to hire an attorney to represent them, which today, if you're charged with a felony, it's over 100,000 plus, you know? And when they say the United States of America versus your name, you're a loser from day one. And cops are easily intimidated by this campaign, anti-police campaign, and defunding of the police. And their family is as well. And wives and spouses tell their husband, be careful. Don't get involved. We want you to come home. And it has an effect. Police suicides have increased substantially around in the United States. The threat of being prosecuted for doing your job. Here's a case we had. We had a canine officer who had to respond in Atlantic City to an unruly suspect who resisted arrest, was two times legally intoxicated. So what does a canine officer do? He says, take to the dog, take the suspect down.
Right.
Training normal. Well, the suspect picks the dog up because of the intoxication, throws him to the ground, and starts punching him. What happens if you punch a dog? Regardless whether it's a police dog or not, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
Well, the police dog bit the suspect, and he was indicted for federal civil rights violations.
The officer was indicted.
The officer. We represented him. It took the jury less than 1 hour to come back with a not guilty verdict.
Right.
See, prosecutors feel, give it to the grand jury. There's a saying, and it's in my book, you can indict a ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Right.
And then their feeling is, well, if you win a trial, but they ruin the officer's life. They bankrupt his life.
Yep.
No one, you know, his career in law enforcement is gone.
It's over. Yep.
So the point is, it's a great profession. The majority of whom go in because they want to make a difference, just like I did.
Mm-hmm.
I worked 5 years undercover that led to the largest seizure of cocaine. And afterwards, I felt so betrayed to be betrayed by the very same government I served, not only in law enforcement, but also in the military. And it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it for the officer. They go in and they don't want to get involved. They're afraid if they get involved. Most criminals know if they're arrested to make a baseless allegation.
Right.
Because immediately internal affairs is going to come in and he's on what we call the rubber gun squad. He's not going to be able to do anything. His career is basically over.
Wow.
Even if he's exonerated, that stigma that you were the target of an internal affairs investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Cops don't need that.
And the investigation doesn't matter on whether or not the accusations are based in any form of fact or not. It's just a matter of somebody making a subjective decision. Is that correct?
That is correct. And you know what's really upsetting? We spoke about immigration enforcement,
mm-hmm.
and I believe the target of immigration enforcement should be for criminal aliens and terrorists.
Right.
We used to have ICE agents assigned to the jails. So when they had a convicted pedophile being released,
they pick them up.
If a law enforcement officer in sanctuary cities picks up the phone and calls ICE, he's going to be fired.
Right. We got about 1 minute left. Real quickly, the book Framed, I Never Stood a Chance. Where do folks pick that book up, Joe?
Well, it's going to be here in Amazon.
Okay.
Or Barnes & Noble. Or you can call our toll-free number to get an autographed copy, 888-SAFE-COP. And the proceeds go to the National Police Defense Foundation.
888-SAFE-COP. 888-SAFE-COP. And, you know, we need to help our officers to be able to push back against the very liberal district attorneys and the liberal agendas that are really threatening the average American on the street with violent criminals that are being released on no cash bail and are being put back out on the street and back out into circulation. And we, the people, become the victims of them. And this is a way to stop that. And to give police officers a sense of confidence that they can actually do the job that they signed on to do. So NPDF1.org or call them at 888-SAFE-COP, 888-SAFE-COP. Joe, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Pastor Greg, you have a great day.
Thank you, sir. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, Colonel Jim Wyatt joins us. Is there a path forward for a more fair America? We'll be back with that coming up. I'm your host, Pastor Greg.